Hello and welcome. For decades, Australians have been warned that the climate emergency is not just coming, it's already here. We've heard it repeated ad nauseum from Canberra politicians, from captured academics, from billionaires flying into climate summits in massively polluting private jets, and from television presenter shills speaking with the solemn tone normally reserved for wartime broadcasts. We're consistently alerted that unless Australians radically transform the way we live, the way we drive, eat, travel, farm, mine, and generate electricity, an extinction-level event is upon us. Entire industries are targeted for extinction. Coal communities are portrayed as relics of a backward age. Farmers face ever-mounting regulations. Energy bills have surged off the charts, while ordinary Australians were glibly assured the pain was necessary to save the planet. But now a remarkable development emerges from inside the very institutions that helped construct this fraudulent narrative. Quietly and with no media attention, the central assumptions behind decades of climate alarmism has been described by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC itself, as implausible. Note the wording here. It's not declared wrong in every respect, not impossible, but implausible. And that single word matters enormously because for over two decades, the most extreme climate projections were repeatedly treated not as unlikely worst-case hypotheticals, but as apocalyptic futures. These scenarios shaped news coverage, public policy, school curriculums, investment strategies, and the psychological reframing of an entire generation. In Australia, these narratives became deeply embedded in public life. Children are unconscionably taught to fear the future. School strikes became national media events. Activists glued themselves to roads, interrupting sporting matches and vandalising precious artworks. Entire political careers were built around rabid declarations of inescapable climate emergency. And whenever scepticism emerged, the immediate response was merciless. Questions were framed as denial. Debate was treated as dangerous. Scientists who challenged aspects of the modelling found themselves marginalised, ignored, or out of a job. Now the foundations beneath that contrived panic are exposed as far less certain than the public was deceptively led to believe. At the centre of this controversy sits something known as RCP 8.5, a climate scenario that became famous within scientific and media circles. Technically, it was intended as a high emissions pathway. In practice, it evolved into the backbone of countless catastrophic headlines. Under this scenario, future emissions would continue rising dramatically for decades. Coal use would eventually explode. Atmospheric carbon concentrations would soar. Computer models projected temperature increases of around 4 degrees Celsius by the end of the century. But outraged communities argued the fevered assumptions behind the scenario were unrealistic from the very beginning. Many researchers pointed out that the pathway assumed levels of coal consumption beyond known recoverable reserves. Others argued that technological and economic trends already made such projections impossible. Yet despite these valid concerns, RCP 8.5 became the media favourite. Why? Because extreme predictions generate attention. A headline warning of possible moderate warming over many decades does not drive clicks, ratings, grants or political urgency, but stories predicting collapsing ecosystems, submerged cities, endless droughts and societal breakdown capture public imagination immediately. And in Australia, few institutions amplified these fears more aggressively than the national media. Australians were told the Great Barrier Reef was effectively dying every 4 years. Bushfires were increasingly framed exclusively through climate lenses. Floods, cyclones, droughts and heat waves became evidence of approaching planetary chaos. Now, none of this means climate never changes. It always has and it always will. But human activity is proven beyond all reasonable doubt to have no measurable impact. Australia is a harsh continent with extreme weather patterns stretching back long before industrialisation. But what critical thinkers increasingly question is the certainty, the absolute confidence, the religious fanaticism with which worst-case scenarios were hysterically pushed upon the public. Because climate modelling itself contains enormous complexity. Earth's climate system is not a simple machine. It's a chaotic interaction between oceans, atmosphere, solar activity, volcanic events, cloud dynamics, water vapour, and countless feedback mechanisms that scientists are still attempting to fully understand. Even a small change in assumptions produces dramatically different long-term projections. And that becomes especially important when greenwashed governments commit trillions of dollars and restructure entire economies based on inaccurate projections. In Australia, the disastrous economic consequences are impossible to ignore. The lunatic push towards net zero has transformed national energy policy. Coal-fired stations are being closed. Gas projects face mounting political resistance. Renewable infrastructure spreads like hideous cancer across regional landscapes, while reliability concerns continue surfacing during periods of peak demand. Meanwhile, household electricity prices have climbed sharply. Ordinary Australians are now asking practical questions. If Australia contributes only a very small percentage of global emissions, how much impact will domestic sacrifices actually have? What happens if China and India continue expanding coal use while Australia stupidly shuts down reliable baseload power? Why are regional communities expected to bear the economic burden while global elites continue living carbon-intensive lifestyles? These questions were once dismissed as fringe talking points. Increasingly, they're entering mainstream political discussion. Part of the reason is simple fatigue. After years of hearing that the world stands perpetually on the edge of climate apocalypse, many people notice that daily life continued. The disasters predicted with absolute certainty invariably failed to materialise in the time frame originally claimed. They never happened. Human civilization adapts, technology evolves, infrastructure improves, agricultural production continues rising globally. Deaths from extreme weather have declined dramatically over the long term due to better forecasting, engineering, and emergency response systems. Yet the media inculcated fear remains politically useful. Fear justifies intervention. Fear centralizes authority. Fear persuades populations to accept coercive policies they'd otherwise reject. That dynamic became especially visible during COVID's state-sponsored terrorism, when worst-case modeling enforced brutally tyrannical restrictions across Australia. False predictions of catastrophic death tolls justified lockdowns, border closures, genocidal vaccine mandates and sweeping emergency powers. Many Australians now look back on that period and question why authorities relied on speculative modelling while aggressively dismissing dissenting voices out of hand. But now the unhinged climate debate follows a tiresomely familiar pattern. Complex models produce alarming forecasts. Media amplifies the worst possibilities. Political institutions demand urgent action. Critics are marginalised and later, quietly, the assumptions behind the original panic are exposed as demonstrably false. This exposes the most treasonous conspiracy imaginable. Institutional incentives appear to drive these panic-driven dynamics. Universities receive grants, activists gain attention, journalists generate engagement, politicians seize the moral authority. Corporations position themselves for subsidies and investment flows. Entire industries emerge around crisis management. And once those systems are established, few participants possess incentives to reduce public anxiety. Australia provides a fascinating case study because the country sits at the turbulent intersection of energy wealth and climate politics. We possess enormous reserves of coal, gas, uranium, and critical minerals. Much of Asia still depends heavily on Australian exports to fuel industrial growth. At the same time, Australian governments aggressively pursue nonsensical emissions targets designed to position the country as a greenwashed climate catastrophe shill. The contradiction is obvious. Australia exports vast quantities of hydrocarbon fuels abroad while simultaneously imposing expensive and unworkable domestic energy transitions at home. For regional Australians, especially those in mining and agricultural communities, the situation is increasingly disconnected from reality. They see governments attacking the very industries that built national prosperity. They watch reliable energy systems dismantled before adequate replacements exist. And they notice that many climate activists come from affluent urban environments, largely insulated from the disastrous economic consequences of this globalist-driven sabotage. This ongoing assault reshapes politics globally. Across Europe, chicken little climate fearmongers are rapidly losing momentum. Farmers protest environmental regulations. Energy security concerns are returning. Even some mainstream media organisations appear less enthusiastic about constant climate catastrophe coverage than they were 5 years ago. Australians are noticing this shift too. The emotional intensity surrounding climate rhetoric is softening, not disappearing entirely, but noticeably changing. Younger activists who once centred their identities around climate protest increasingly redirect attention towards other ideological causes. Public enthusiasm for disruptive demonstrations are measurably weaker than before. Cost of living pressures now dominate many household concerns. And perhaps most importantly, people now re-examine claims that were once treated as unquestionable truth. That doesn't mean environmental stewardship is unimportant. Australia's natural environment is unique and certainly worth protecting. Sensible conservation, clean water, responsible land management, and technological innovation remain essential goals. But there's a growing distinction between practical environmentalism and apocalyptic political messaging. One seeks balance, the other demands social transformation through fear. Australians have historically been sceptical of fear campaigns, especially when they are so obviously disconnected from practical reality. The deeper issue may not simply be manipulated climate science itself, but public trust, trust in institutions, trust in media, trust in experts. When institutions repeatedly present worst-case projections as near certainties, and then those predictions later soften or shift, credibility suffers. That erosion of trust extends far beyond climate policy. It affects faith in academia, public health, institutions, and political leadership generally. Australians increasingly note that certain debates are no longer conducted openly. Instead, narratives are covertly curated. Certain perspectives receive amplification while others are excluded. Social media has accelerated this process by allowing independent citizen journalists, researchers, and commentators to bypass information gatekeepers entirely. Today, the alternative voices of citizen journalists reach millions directly. That change has profoundly disrupted institutional authority. Whether discussing climate, COVID, censorship, energy policy, or cultural politics, Australians are increasingly exposed to competing interpretations rather than a single approved consensus. And that may explain why the quiet IPCC acknowledgement regarding implausible modelling assumptions matters far beyond technical climate science. It symbolises something larger, a growing public recognition that institutional certainty is less solid than it appears, that experts are more often wrong than not, that incentives shape narratives, and that healthy societies require open debate rather than enforced conformity. The climate discussion in Australia is far from over, but perhaps the fear-mongering climate emergency scam is. Energy transitions will continue. Environmental debates will intensify. New technologies will emerge. But the atmosphere of unquestionable panic that dominated recent years is dramatically weakening. Australians are pragmatic people. They value resilience, practicality, and common sense. They understand droughts, floods, fires, and harsh weather because they've lived with them for generations. And increasingly, many refuse to accept sweeping economic transformation based solely on worst-case scenarios erroneously presented as settled certainty. The debate is changing not because concerns vanished overnight, but because people are asking more informed questions about how those concerns were framed, amplified, and politicised in the first place. And in the years ahead, that reassessment will undoubtedly prove just as significant as the science itself. Thank you for watching.